Welcome to the fifth ever episode of the Collapsing Game Shelf podcast. We're coming at you from the Wingen.
Yeah, the Wingen. That's a good one.
Coming at you from the basement of Adam's house. So yeah. If it sounds different, that might be why. We've got some good stuff today. Hopefully we can get through all of it, but we're gonna start off with some introductions. We've got
Justin.
We've got
Adam.
And Debbie.
And we've got Tom, your hosts for River Dragons by Roberto Fraga, a game for quick. What's it say on there? 2 to 6 people, eight plus.
Or higher in age, and 25 minutes.
Very important to not let your infants or toddlers at the games, as they're usually consisting of tiny components that they can get lodged in their esophagus.
Or run away with.
Well, they don't put the big X through the age limit on account of them running off with stuff. That's not usually the reason that's there.
I think it's important. You know, you don't want your components running off. Then you got to chase children.
Yeah, you don't want to have to chase children all over the place.
They're fast.
Yeah, where do we start? Start with a bit of a quick overview on this one. River Dragons, again, is a game for 2 to 6 people about putting down, you get these little gray discs, which represent stones. You've got some, that sounds exactly the same. You got some nice little planks.
Nice little wooden planks.
Yeah. Adam, tell me about how thick do you think these are in your professional?
Oh man, they're like quarter inch at best, eighth inch probably thickness. It's like an eighth. They look like popsicle sticks, man. They look like popsicle sticks, just twice as wide, and of course at varying lengths.
They remind me of X-wing range rulers, just shorter.
God, you're such a dork. You get some cards, you get some nicely colored little people to represent your person. And the main point of the game is everyone starts off on your little board. You're starting in your home area and trying to get to the other side of the map by way of putting down the gray discs and putting the popsicle sticks on top of them and moving your way across the board. The way you do that is every round, you start with a hand of many different types of cards, which allow you to put down rocks. They let you put down popsicle sticks. They let you move. They let you jump over people. And the idea is that you program 5 of those every turn in a bid to get yourself from one end to the other, with people getting in the way. You're allowed to use your bridges, your popsicle sticks. You're allowed to use other people's popsicle sticks. It doesn't matter how you get to the other side, just that you need to get there. Anytime you do something that isn't allowed, like anytime you program something that doesn't really work, you fall into the ocean.
Anytime you try to program something or do something that you physically can't do, like try to move when you're trapped on a lone popsicle stick, or you're trying to move through somebody and you bump into them, or you try to leap over somebody and there's no one there, you trip and you fall in the drink and you got to swim your way back to the start.
And I'm going to take, just for any kind of, for anybody that doesn't speak board game speak.
Nerd. Or,
yes, nerd speak. basically, this whole programming thing is you have to plan 5 turns out. Everybody has to plan 5 turns out all at the same time without knowing what the other people are doing. That's programming. So there, you basically lock in what your next 5 moves are going to be, and kind of through progression, each person takes their turn, and you know, because nobody knows what anybody else is doing, people can very easily do something that changes everything and makes it so that you can't do anything anymore. So you are unable to kind of go back and change what you've done. The purpose of programming is to try to plan for the unplannable. And you, like I said, you lock in those next 5 moves, and that's what these guys are talking about when they're talking about programming.
Which leads to a fun bit of strategy where you're constantly trying to outthink everybody else on the table that may be trying to do you over with a misplaced rock or removing the plank you're about to walk onto.
It's nice because like action programming, I mean, at least in my opinion, is an underutilized game mechanic. I can't think of more than a small handful of games that actually use the action programming mechanic, and let alone one that uses it quite as well as this game does. So that's a huge thumbs up for that. Anyways,
one thing not really mentioned yet is that the carrying on to a bit of more of a rulesy explanation of the game here. Everybody gets not one popsicle stick, not two popsicle sticks, but six popsicle sticks.
Ooh, soundbite.
of varying lengths.
Yeah, so you get, they're numbered from 1 to 6. They're all different lengths, which is somewhat important for the one side of the board, and more important later. We'll get to that. But when you're placing the sticks on the board, you actually have to make sure that they physically sit on top of the rock. So if you decide to pick up something and it doesn't fit, you're actually not allowed to put it anywhere, and you kind of end up losing your turn. So a little bit of an explanation more on the rules here. So when you start every round with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So you start every round with a minimum of 8 cards, which are important. You've got your put down one slat. You've got put down 2 slats, put down 1 rock, put down 2 rocks. Your guy sauntering along, which is 1 move. You got your guy just fucking booking it, which is 2. You've got the leap over a dude, and you've got the rage quit somebody's plank, which is you get to rip somebody's plank and or rock just right off the ground and throw it into the river. These are the basic 8 that everyone gets. Everyone also gets a dragon of everyone else's color, so that you can program in canceling out their move, which can help you stop them from winning. More than anything, important things about the rocks is you can put the rocks down on the one side of the board. You can put them down anywhere on top of the little rock. There's the map here is a lake situation with little rock outcroppings everywhere. You can put the rocks on there, and you sort of put them in the area that you want, sort of anywhere in that sort of rock island that you have. And there they will remain for the rest of the game, provided nobody goes and like dicks with you. When you're putting planks down, you have to pick a size of plank before you go and put anything down. So like, it's important to note for this game that you have to pick what you want to do before actually knowing whether it's possible to do it. So you might look at 2 rocks that are sort of a certain distance away, and you're like, I think I can get away with using a 1. And then you take the 1 out, and then you find that it doesn't work, and you just look like an asshole. That plays more into it with the other side of the board, because the other side of the board has no such rocky guides to it, which is kind of interesting, because then everybody's sort of just eyeballing everything all the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas the rocky island side, everything you can bet is at least some sort of reasonable distance from each other, so that you're not going to get totally weird with it. Your 1 and 2 moves are pretty much exactly what you'd expect. You get to move from one connected popsicle stick to another, or 2 popsicle sticks away. I think you can sort of loop around if you have to, but the important thing to note about moving is that if you can't, because like you can't share spaces, is the important thing about movement. If you try to move into a space that has another guy, you just can't do it. If you can't move anywhere, then you fall off the thing and go rushing back to your starting place. Which brings us to the next card, which is the leap over, I guess. What is it? Piggy leapfrog.
Leapfrog.
The leapfrog. That's exactly what it is. I know what things are.
I know words.
I know words. I have so many words. The leapfrog card is if you are sitting next to someone else that's on an adjacent popsicle stick, you can go over top of them to the next stick without falling into the river. The problem is if you decide to do a leapfrog and there's nobody there, you just leapfrog off yourself into the drink. Finally, in the explanation of cards is the rip a board out, rip your stick, or toss a rock, which ends up you taking either a uncovered rock and putting it back in the main supply, or taking a unoccupied stick and moving it into your supply. There's a couple fiddly rules around taking the stick back, such that you can't have more than one player's color. So you can't have your color and I can't have my color and Debbie's color and one of Justin's. I can only sort of take a couple from Debbie if I so choose. And you can't have more than one of the same number. So you can't just keep like ripping up all the sixes and hoarding them like some sort of weird goblin. Some other fiddly rules around the canceling, but mostly it just means like everybody sort of, anybody that you have showing up in the cancellation card just can't do a turn for that slot in the order.
Single action, I guess.
Yeah, so the play ends up working such that if I'm the first player and I have a movement and Debbie has a put down a stick and Adam has a put down a rock and Justin has a cancel, that's facing me, the green player, for instance, I won't be able to do my thing even though I'm the first player. His thing just takes mine out. Debbie does her turn. Adam does her turn. Justin's turn was fucking me over, so he doesn't really get to do anything other than sort of gloat about that.
It's pretty you fun also gloating. Made Adam a her. That was pretty touching.
When?
You just said, and Adam doesn't get to do her turn.
Oh.
It was quite cute.
It happens.
So yeah, this basically the game works that everybody picks their five cards, you go in order, doing one thing at a time until everybody's out of actions, then you take your cards back. Next person becomes the first player, and you keep doing this until somebody walks their little ass across the river to the opposite shore. And that's pretty much it. First person that gets there wins, no matter what the circumstance, they end up, if they pass through their goal, they get the win. So even if you had more actions left over or whatever the situation happens to be, the game stops and they're the winner.
Yes, because somebody tried to take away my win because I moved further and it became a... I don't think you can do that.
Well, the only reason I brought it up is it made mention specifically that you have to complete, like if you do a double move, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So, no, which I could don't. Just be going forward and back. So it just seemed that it was trying to stress that point, and I wasn't sure if you had to complete it or you had to end there.
Justin didn't want me to win. Let's be realistic.
I mean, I was one turn away. So close.
You were.
We were all one turn away, except for Adam.
Yeah, I don't know that I actually made it more than about two steps off of my starting little
island. But
you're
a very strong swimmer now.
I'm practically Michael Phelps.
Oh, wow.
This river doesn't look very warm, so I don't know if that's what you want to be doing.
There's a lot of nice koi fish in there, though. Seems quite lovely.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
It seems like a pretty easy... It's a pretty easy game to play, right? Like, I mean, it's pretty basic, pretty simplistic. You can put a lot of, what's the word?
Complication? Degree of difficulty?
No.
Strategy?
Thank you. Strategy. You could put a lot of strategy into it if you really wanted to. But you don't necessarily have to either, right? Like, somebody could just easily just sit down and play it. That's what I mean when I say it's easy.
Yeah. Like, I would say that it's a very easy game to pick up and teach. I think the main meat of the game comes from interacting with the other players around the table and trying to outthink everybody rather than come up with a master plan of how to speed across the board or something. Like the strategy is more outthinking other players than outthinking the game itself.
Yeah.
I like that the meeples are nice. The rule book is clean, concise, gets to the point, doesn't overcomplicate things. Again, not that it's a super complicated game, But the component quality is really good. The popsicle stick thing, I wasn't sure about when I first started, but I really warmed up to it really quickly. I like action programming games. I think that they're good. I think that not enough game companies utilize the action programming mechanic. One thing that I'm also very, pro in this game is the fact that the board has two sides. If it only had one side and it just had described rock outcroppings where you can put your rocks. I mean, like, the replayability, at least in my opinion, would be very minimal. At least on the other side of the board where there are no rock outcroppings and you kind of have to just gauge how far away should I put this rock. I think it really adds to the game. It definitely brings it up. So it really gives it like a secondary game mode. I mean, my concern, of course, is like, because you start in the one place and you are supposed to go just to the opposite corner or opposite edge of the board, I worry about how much replayability you can get out of this, but I think that there's enough there to keep you going for a good while.
Yeah, I think the replayability of it comes not from the very simple objective. It comes from just how you want to go about getting there and how much you think your friends are going to try to stop you or get in your way. Because most of the game, we played twice, and both games started off, you know, very, very nonchalant. You're just, you know, we're just throwing down some rocks, putting down some planks. And then everyone starts to kind of get into the middle. And then you start using other people's planks, and people start stealing the planks behind you, so you have nowhere else to go. And then all of a sudden you're stuck in this just massive mess of a tangled web just in the middle. And I think that's where the replayability comes, is just playing against your friends in a very lighthearted way rather than playing against your friends in something akin to, like, an area control game where you're like destroying each other's armies. This is just a nice, simple, like, if you lose, you just fall back to your base and you just can sprint forward again next turn and get right back into the swing of things. I also really enjoyed using the dragon on Adam.
At the because, most opportune time, yes, ever, every time.
Because they, that is one of the fun. Like, I love programming games like this because it turns a lot of that strategy into, when do I play this? Like, you think to yourself, it's like, oh, well, the most, like, economical way to play your turn would be to, like, just put down a rock, a plank, and then run across it. But you don't necessarily want to do it in that order because you don't know when someone's going to steal that plank that you just put down or just cancel your plank turn, and all of a sudden you're just running off into the water on a short plank. So I think that's where the heart of the game and I think a lot of the replayability comes from.
One thing that should be mentioned to just to make sure that it's a little bit clear. When you play a dragon on your turn, you can only play each player can only play one dragon per turn so that it doesn't end up just being like some weird cancel fest. So you can basically just get to shit on one person every turn per person. One person per person gets to shit on another person. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being a lot of Adam. A lot of Adam last week in the second game.
I don't know how I pulled the short straw there, but I mean, I felt shellacked at certain points.
I think it was just because you were sitting across from me, so I would look up, see you, grin, and put down a dragon.
That's very rude. It's very rude.
But funny.
I enjoyed it for what it was. It's simple. It's relatively quick. I can see that there's a lot of people that wouldn't like that pre-programming aspect. I can see how that is frustrating for some people. Like, I think there's some personalities that, yeah, that would go absolutely mental over that and would just get really bitter. So I can see where it fits into some people's gaming style and how it fits into other, like, or doesn't fit into other people's. I think my only complaint I would say would be the components are difficult in the sense that when you put stuff down and you try to pick them up, like, you start moving things around, and the sticks fall off the rocks, and the rocks get moved around, and it almost becomes a tactile game.
it gets a little
frustrating at times. So
it's a hidden dexterity game.
Yeah, I think that's probably my only real complaint on it.
Well, was there anything else you wanted to like mention about the guy?
Or you?
Me?
Did you?
You haven't really given your thoughts really on it yet.
Yeah, impressions yet.
It was all right.
Okay, I think you need to elaborate more on that.
Well, no, I mean, I'm going to echo mostly what everyone else has said here. There's not too much I want to add. It's nice that the board has sort of a beginner, which is, you know, everything's going to end up not being completely out of reach. And then the other side is like, you can totally hose yourself. It's great. Everything looks real nice. Again, like Debbie said, I'm probably going to shit on the popsicle sticks a little bit. They could be a bit heftier. They were a little fiddly to deal with. One of the major frustrations with the game is like just putting something down or moving one of your guys and just having the whole goddamn thing fall apart for no reason. That was a bit annoying. That's pretty mild, all things considered. It's a pretty fun little game. Nice and easy to teach. It doesn't take long to play. So it's pretty decent.
At the end of the day, are you going to keep it? Are you going to get rid of it? What's going to happen with this River Dragons?
I think I'll probably keep this one around for the time being. It's light enough, it's easy enough, and you know the concept of programming is usually good enough to for a couple of playthroughs at least. It plays up to six people, which is, you know, not every game is able to do that. We didn't play it with six, so I don't know how well it works, but you know, when you're able to program everything simultaneously, it flows pretty nicely. Usually, you know, it's cute, it's colorful, it's fun. I could probably teach the kids to play this someday. It'll probably be one of the first more complicated games that I'll be able to play with the children. So,
So what you're saying is you're not going to rush out and pick up My First Scythe or something?
Yeah, right. Baby's First Scythe.
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, it's pretty good. It's probably worth keeping around. I honestly don't know how much I would end up playing it over other games. I think it is probably more of a family affair than stuff I usually play. Again, if we're going to play, so just to go into a little bit more detail here, if we're going to play something that involves like moving a bunch of shit around on a board for the tactility, I'm not going to play this. We'll play something like Junk Art or even like Tok Tok Woodman if you're just in for something really quick and light that has shit spilling everywhere. If I want to play a programming game, there's also the League of Legends game. There's Robo Rally, which I've never played.
Space Alert.
If you're inclined to just like have a little bit more complicated of an experience, along with just like a ton more fun, you can play Space Alert. So this has components of all things that I like that are just a little bit too simple for me to be able to say like, yeah, let's get this out. But I do think it's probably worth keeping around. Debbie?
So I'm giving it a 3, giving it a meh. It does what it does. I mean, I'm kind of neither here nor there on it. I'm pretty neutral. Like it's good. I think I would probably get frustrated with the components if I played it more than a couple times in a row. I'm a 3, pretty solid 3, I think.
I'm gonna again kind of echo what's already kind of been said. I'm very lukewarm on this. The pros of it are that it is easy to play. The components are super nice. You have multiple game modes. There is some amount of replayability. My concerns with it are one, it's really not something that I could see myself just reaching for. Like that's just my gut feeling on it. I tend to like I mean, myself in general, I tend to like heavier games to begin with. This one feels a little light and a little family style for me. Like I said, in my opinion, I just feel that there's not enough there, but what is there is done very well. So when I give it my rating, which is, of course, out of 10, I'm giving it a 6.5. Like, it's definitely a passing grade. There's enough there to do something, but it's just not for me.
I love how if I ever come up with the fucking website for this podcast, there's like four or five sometimes just like reviews taped to every game.
It's like, well, because it's so different.
I have to have like a different scale, and sometimes it's fucking different on different days. Like, but I don't know what the hell.
Every time I give my review, and I can just feel Adam just like. Just looking at me with such disgust.
Well, because your fucking scale changes every fucking episode.
No. It's pretty much been steady. A thumb and a recommendation. Like, would I recommend this to somebody? Yes or no? And, you know.
So what is it? Give us your take.
How many chingasas out of seven?
I just
seven and a third.
It's. I kind of feel like, who killed your childhood, man? Look at this game.
Why are you so into stock options? It's and complicated bullshit.
Like, this is like, I mean, just from like an art style alone, like, it's just a very nice game to look at. Like, I love any game that goes to the effort to make a double-sided board, because it adds just so much more that a lot of other companies would put into an expansion and another board and just more stuff that's sitting around my house. So, or in this case, Tom's house.
Yeah.
Those poor shelves.
So that's why, like, I really like this game. Like, I would definitely recommend it. A solid, this is almost like a thumb and a half. Like, I quite enjoyed this one. The reason I liked it, like, kind of my main points was the two-sided board. I like that everyone's taking their turn at the same time. Like, all the thinking quiet time. You don't have to wait, really, for anyone else, because you're all programming it at the same time. So that's, I like that. And then it's just, the turn just goes quick. Reveal, do a thing, get canceled, make Adam fall into the river and restart.
That's not what I thought he was going to say.
do your turn, get shit on, fall in the river. That's how it works.
Yeah, that is. And, but that's what I like about, like, programming games, like a competitive programming game like this, rather than a cooperative programming game like Space Alert or even the League of Legends game. Because a lot of the meat of the game, I find, like, even though it is super simple, it's maybe five turns to get to the other side. I think that's pretty much what the game took. But the main thing is just trying to outthink all your friends and trying to think, you know, what turn do I think someone will cancel me? Where could I mess up this programming and still get away with it? So I think that's where a lot of the fun comes from when I played it, is it can be as in-depth as you want. And but the main downside is the little wood components on other slidey wooden components doth not mix well. Every time you went to remove a plank, it felt like a dexterity game where everything went sliding. All the pieces fell off and you had to kind of reset it as best you thought you could. But yeah, no, I liked it. Who killed your childhood?
Yeah.
Do we plug Adam first?
Plugging Adam is my bread and butter.
I'm curious what we're going to play, but sure.
Well, we're doing Burgle Brothers.
Right.
Yeah, we're doing Burgle Brothers.
Doesn't someone make the noise, though, to at least give the illusion that we put this into something?
I don't make noises, so don't look at me.
I don't believe that.
I'm not talented.
Yeah, no. Next game we're doing is Burgle Brothers. I'm excited for it, to say the least. I've never played Burgle Brothers before, so it'll be my first time playing through. It'll be great.
Say it six times fast. Yes, now.
Burgle Bros.
Other than that, for everybody, for the little final plugs, myself, I'm at For the Win on Twitter. Twitch.tv/ForTheWin. Yeah, website ForTheWin.com. ForTheWin.
So did he take your thunder?
No. I mean, if I had anything to actually say, I would, you know, maybe he would have taken my thunder.
Eventually, we will have a website.
Well, Tom's at Team Rage Tom.
Yeah, my Twitter handle's at Team Rage Tom if you want to see just like an empty void of nothingness.
But isn't that what the internet is for? Is to yell into the void?
This is why we have to get, get a social media manager or something.
I really abide by the if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So you'll see that
Do not.
So this is why we started a podcast, is it?
Yeah. To say nice things about board games.
So is this why we should just scrap our Unstable Unicorns episode?
Getting outed right now. This is bad. Debbie thinks I should be more active on social media considering what a toxic shit I am. I like it. Yeah, so probably I'll have to start monitoring this when this thing goes live, just in the off chance anyone wants to contact me. But at Team Rage Tom on Twitter, and at some point we will have a website up. It might even just be like some offshoot of ForTheWin.com. Haven't really worked it out yet. That's pretty much where we're at. Debbie, do you have anything?
No, because my Great. Twitter account is still my real name.
Good talk. At some point
I'll have to fix that.
People will find us eventually.
If you want to get a hold of me, harass Adam.
Hey! Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, if you need to get a hold of Justin, just go on Adam's Twitch stream and start bitching at him.
Yeah.
Join us next time when we review Burgle Brothers. Thank you very much.
Bye.